where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is John Luke. You know John as an auctioneer for A&E Shows Storage Wars. He does a lot of corporate and charity auction events now. Going back to the beginning, he's from North Harlem, New York. He's a big Jets, Yankees, Rangers, and Knicks fan, maybe also sprinkling a little bit of the Giants, too. I had the opportunity to meet John a couple of years ago when he was here in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. He's certainly been around a lot of celebrities, athletes, and executives over the course of his career. We've had a great time every time he has been a part of the show and interacting over social media with him as well. And we are honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, John, Chris, and Bob, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Right, John.
Happy New Year to you, my friends, and maybe a healthy one, please.
Yeah, and
it's great to be on the show. I love you guys. I love listening to you. You guys crack me up with some of your interaction and some of the serious parts. You know, they're really good to listen to. And if you've had a lot of people I know on the show. In fact, your previous guest, Victor Green, because you said I did charity events. I had the pleasure of getting to know Victor and working a couple of his charity events. And a shout out to Victor Green Foundation. His foundation, they do a great job.
Yeah, well, very good. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
John, you talk about being safe. How have you held up in the year of COVID? What's been going on with you?
I wish I could tell you some exciting things. Basically, in New York, I could say I've been a little bit more than a couch potato. My last charity event was in March, and your next week's guest, Jerry Cooney, I had the opportunity of meeting and chatting with. Very nice gentleman, very smart, great guy. Basically, you know, I can't wait for this to be over to get back out there because, as Victor said, his event had to be canceled. Several events have been canceled, and I don't know if we're doing the Super Bowl event this year in Tampa. So it's frustrating, but, you know, that's a small problem to what other people have. So, you know, basically I'm very fortunate. So have no complaints, really.
So, John, we got to get your thoughts on your Jets. You know, we know they finished 2-14, but hey, won two of the last three games. I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts. Happy they won those two games to have some momentum for next year, or are you hating it because they gave up the first pick?
You know, first of all, I come on your show because I love it how you guys just give it to me, stick it there a little bit on my jet. I love it. You know, honestly speaking, they don't know when to lose when they should. You know, I tell you like it is, you know. I'm a fan. I've been a Jet fan since I was a kid. I've also been a Giants fan. I had season tickets to the Jets when they were at Chase Stadium when I used to freeze as a young guy. But seriously speaking, they just should have lost all their games. Did it make a difference that they won? I hate to say that, but did it make a difference?
Yeah, and
they lost the number one pick.
Right. I want to get your thoughts on Adam Gase. You know, you mentioned Victor Green on the show earlier tonight, and Victor was sort of happy to see Adam Gase go. Your thoughts on Gase and them letting him go after only two seasons?
Why did it take so long?
Wow, you too.
Me too, and, you know, I live in New York, so I listen to sports radio in the car. Put them in the car, and me and 90% of the Jet fans, okay? Why did they hire him from the Dolphins? He was not a winning coach. He did not prove he could be a winning coach. He came with the credentials as being the quarterback whisperer who was to turn Sam Darnold into the franchise quarterback. Did that happen? Okay? Granted, Sam Darnold didn't have the tools at his disposal. But personally, Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback in the NFL, but as a franchise quarterback, I don't think so. And that's why Adam Gase was brought in. That's how it was framed.
So to your point, John, you know, the other question becomes around Darnold. It doesn't sound like you're sold on him as the franchise quarterback. Do you think they need to go another direction?
Well, can they go another direction? I mean, I watching the college games, Fields from Ohio State, which, you know, would be their quarterback pick, I would assume, or I don't know the gentleman's name from BYU, is it? That was a quarterback that's yep. really good. So it depends what the plan is of the GM. You know, what is the you know, they have good draft picks. What is his plan? I mean, if he could get a, you know, a good Fields or the BYU quarterback and a little help around him, I would say it's time to change. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's the quarterback at BYU. Had a heck of a year, almost 3,700 yards passing, 33 touchdowns to only 3 picks. So, yeah, I think either way it could be an interesting pick for the Jets. It'll be interesting to see which direction they go. Bob, questions for John?
Great to speak with you, John. We've had a lot of fun this season at your expense, but
Hey, listen, you know what? That's okay. Listen to me. That's okay. I've done a lot worse on TV, believe me. Come bring it on. It's okay. Yeah. Listen, I learned it. If I can't laugh at myself, what can I do? So it's all good.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, there's a silver lining of the Jets' woes this year, and it was a lot of laughs between us. So, but I share what you said about Gase just off the top of my head here, John. As far as you know, when they signed him, I'm saying why is this guy supposed to be special? Didn't really like his attitude. I mean, some guys and Chris and I have talked about this before. Some guys are just made to be coordinators. So it's not necessarily, you know, a smooth transition to be a head coach if you're a successful coordinator. I think McDaniels is like, I think there's so many guys around like that. They just kind of, you know, go for the money or they want the fame or the ego. I don't know. But Gase is a coordinator, and I think we've put that to bed already. But I want to get back to your roots in New York, John. I mean, when you mentioned Shea Stadium, you know, I probably was there, I want to say the late 70s, one game against Miami in December, the coldest game I've ever been to in my life. I was standing in the end zone, well, toward the back of an end zone, but we were just standing, and I've never been that cold in my life. I will never forget it. But I have a lot of people that knew that I go back to those days, and we talk about Jets, and they know that I had a great admiration and of Joe Namath, probably my favorite player of all time and my idol as a kid. You know, I was a tri-state kid and Namath was the man in the Super Bowl and everything. But, you know, people always come back at me, John, and they'll say to me, you know, I look at his stats and my God, the guy like threw as many touchdowns as interceptions and why is he in the Hall of Fame, this and that. They have no idea what it was like playing at Shea Stadium where the wind was like nothing I've ever seen. Burgess Owens told us that on this show, but I want you to comment about the whole Shea Stadium thing and when they played with the infield and dirt, and I mean, that was something else, John.
Well, all I could tell you is I had to put newspapers in my boots to insulate from the concrete. The literally, you would leave the game, you know, at the end of the game, your hands were numb and your feet were numb. It was like, I've been to Chicago, I've been to Minnesota, okay, and I know how cold they say it is there, and it is cold, but it's just as cold as Shea Stadium. It was freezing. Mm-hmm. It was a horror. But you know what? I love the Jets. I had season tickets, okay? I had the tickets from the strike season, okay? No good, but I had them. I used to go, I had like 5, 6, 7 years of going to Shea Stadium. But, you know, I have to admit, though, when I woke up in the morning a couple times and it was just so cold out, I said, I'm not doing it. That's how bad it was. That's how bad it was, okay?
Yeah, the whole, the wind down there, Willits Point, people don't understand what Namath did in spite of the wind. Again, that's for another show, but it really
but
was
you,
something.
You know what you can relate the wind to? You can relate the wind to Willie Mays in San Francisco.
Exactly. Something, it was that severe, and, you know, there's a reason why these guys are Hall of Famers. But,
yes.
You know, and you mentioned all your other, we mentioned in the intro, your love for New York sports in general. John, is there a guy like football, baseball, basketball, hockey, when you were growing up that kind of started this whole thing for you, the interest in New York sports?
Wow. You know what? I was fortunate. At a very young age, I started playing ice hockey. So I was a Rangers fan. And then when the Islanders came, of course, I hated them, being from New York, the city, from Manhattan. You know, they were the enemy. I was in walking distance. I used to go to Yankee Stadium. My mother used to bring me there back in the Roy White days. So, and then, you know, as I got a little older, I could go by myself. We used to walk over there. I used to play football at McCombs Dam Field, which is now where the new Yankee Stadium is.
Right.
And so growing up, you know, sports was the thing. You know, I played football, baseball, hockey. And so, of course, you had your idols. And you were saying your idol was Joe Namath. I had the pleasure, you know, to do his celebrity tournament. I was the auctioneer at one of his celebrity tournaments. I got the pleasure of meeting him along with a Pittsburgh quarterback that won a few Super Bowls. Who would that be?
Could Terry Bradshaw? Could that be Terry Bradshaw?
Yes. Yeah. And what a funny guy. So, you know, I love, you know, growing up, you know, we went through bad years and we went through good years. I used to say, at least I watched the Rangers win a Stanley Cup. Now I say, I could say, at least I watched the Jets win a Super Bowl, you know. My Yankees and my Giants, you know, they won a couple Super Bowls. The Giants are, you know, showing some signs. The Mets now have a new owner, so, they, you know, they're going to be good. So New York sports has been down for a little bit, so hopefully it'll get back up there.
John, one of the things we've been talking throughout the show tonight has been, speaking of the Giants, they had an opportunity to get into the playoffs if the Eagles had, what I'm going to say, if they had done the right thing and let Jalen Hurts.
I watched, you know, the game.
at least complete that game. You know, you never know what could have happened. I know he did play well, you know, last Sunday. But they, you know, yank him in favor of a third string quarterback, sort of treated the last quarter like it was an exhibition game. I'm sure bitter rivals, obviously Eagles, Giants. Does this add a little extra something to the sauce next year because of what they did that potentially kept the Giants out of the playoffs?
To put it mildly, I think they're on the hate list. But again, it wasn't the Philadelphia Eagles team. It was their head coach. And personally, to me, what he did was disrespectful to the game. Because how could you possibly justify you wanting to see what your third string quarterback's going to do in the last quarter of the last game of the season? Is that really going to help you?
Right. Right.
I mean, if it is, so now let me know how.
Yeah. Right. So now with both New York teams out of the playoffs, is there a bandwagon you're going to jump on? Are you going to look to upstate New York to get on with the Bills? Who are you rooting for?
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting Jim Kelly and Andre Reed. So, you know, listen, they're a New York team. And you know what? I would like the Bills. I'm thinking Bills, Chiefs, Packers. One of those three. Okay. I'll go for the New York team. You know, I have no horse in the race. That's the problem.
Right.
So I'll go for the state in the race.
Yeah, at least you got that.
Yeah, exactly. I got something.
Bob more for John?
Yeah, well, John, your horse, not to keep going on this, but your horse never got out of the gate. So, I mean,
thank you. Thank you.
Ribbon saw the wound.
When you're 2-14, yeah, you just didn't run. So, I mean, but you know, that's what we've been talking about all year. But, you know, what I was asking, you know, if you had to pick a coach, maybe not a name of a coach, John, but what type of coach would you like to see there? I mean, Gase was considered an offensive quote-unquote guru or a quarterback tailor. I don't know what you would call him. But, you know, do they need a defensive-minded coach? Do they need a guy that can do kind of both? I mean, what kind of personality would you like to see in that place?
They need a coach that can hire the proper coaches under him and give them direction, what his goal is, and he has to have the right coaches for defense, for offense, for special teams. That's why look at the Patriots coaches for offense, defense, special teams. They're all head coaches, or were head coaches. Okay. It's not just the head coach. It's the right person to hire the other coaches under him to get the job done that he wants. So do I have a particular person? No. That's what you need a guy to manage.
Yeah.
Are there any out there
some of the top guys are like the offensive coordinator of Kansas City.
Desperate.
Yeah. But I you know, it's New York is a crazy type of place, and you know, you're talking about some of these other guys coming from the Midwest, John, I mean, you almost don't know if they know what they're getting into here. So I guess all we can do is pray for the best. And, hey, let's put it this way. They can't do any worse than they did last year, right?
Hey, we can hope.
We can hope.
That's right.
You know, listen, there's no guarantees, are there?
John, you've talked about, you know, some of the celebrities and athletes that you've had an opportunity to do some auctions for and be a part of their events. Who are some of the most fun people that you've been able to be around, get to know a little bit, and have some laughs with?
Well, let's see. I every year at Super Bowl, and I believe you were at the one in Atlanta with the Laughs with Legends.
That's right.
With Larry Centers, running back. Ed Too Tall Jones. I don't know if that was the one Vince Papale was at. He's a great guy, former Philadelphia Eagle. You know, Mark Wahlberg played him in a movie. Ed Too Tall Jones, great conversations with him. Done Franco Harris's event, really great guy. I mean, what's so cool is I'm a fan. I didn't play the game. But, you know, these are people I grew up watching and having the opportunity to speak with, and the stories. I mean, I met Whitey Ford, okay, and became
wow.
friends with Whitey Ford. Yeah, I met him on a plane. I'm sitting on a plane. This guy sits next to me. I know who it is, but I don't bother him. And then we get into a conversation. I give him my card. He ends up calling me, coming to my office, giving a baseball to my partner's son.
Wow.
Go out to lunch, to dinner. Oh, and this, I can't tell you the stories he told me. It was unbelievable. That's like, I would have to say Whitey Ford was probably the most electrifying gentleman to speak to.
So to your point, right, have there been stories that people have shared with you that you could share with us, maybe one or two stories that, you know, really kind of caught you off guard and like, wow, really? That happened?
Oh, well, there's one, and it was so many years ago. I'm going to try and remember. Whitey Ford said that he was doing a radio show about when Jackie Robinson stole home, I think it was. They were playing the Dodgers in a World Series. I'm trying to remember, and Phil Rizzuto calls in because Whitey Ford says he was out. Yogi Berra was on, said he was out. Whitey Ford calls in, Phil Rizzuto calls in, excuse me. Phil Rizzuto calls in and says he was safe. Then later on, a few days later, somebody sends Whitey a picture of the infield who was playing that day. And Phil Rizzuto wasn't even playing. And I don't want to tell you what Whitey Ford called Phil Rizzuto. You So, he told me stories that I can't share.
Sure.
That's a family show.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. But it's been a fun ride getting to meet all these people. In fact, you know, one of your guests coming up, Otis Anderson, I met him a couple times at a charity event, and asked him if he could do any auctioning, because he said when I met him a couple years ago, he was practicing to be an auctioneer, believe it or not.
Is that right?
Wow.
Wow. How about
that? Yeah. Yep. So it's been fun. It's been fun, definitely.
John, but one more before we let you go. And you know, when Bob and I being Italian, now I saw your recent tweet about your homemade sauce. Right? We got to get your recipe.
my recipe. Oh, my. Yeah, you know, I think the show is a little short for that. we have to do a cooking show. Okay, but you know, I make a meat sauce. Okay, and you know, veal, bones, pork bones, beef bones, and then you know, there has to be some meat on it. It falls off. You know, tons of seasoning. It's a family recipe, so you know, I can only go into so much.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay.
Well,
you know?
It certainly looked good. And as there's, you know, one of the things I'm most jealous about you for is not only the celebrity and the athletes that you've got to hang out with, but the food that you show every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, even if it's McDonald's, I'm looking at it and I'm getting hungry. Every time I go on your Twitter page, you've got great food. So kudos to you, my friend.
It's funny. Thank you. And you know what? McDonald's likes it too. I only do this because, you know what, listen, I'm a regular guy, and you know what, how many millions of people eat McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? But then again, I'll go cook my French toast special, so you know what, it's all good. Like today I went for Japanese food. You go on my Twitter page and you'll see Japanese food, so
John,
it all.
Let our listeners know, how can they follow you on social media and see all of this good stuff?
Well, on Twitter and Instagram, it's at JohnLukeNYC. And simple, just Google me. There's too much of me. to tell you the truth. we haven't aired a show in the States in a year or so, but our show, Storage Wars New York, is still playing all over the world. And I have followers sending me pictures from Brazil, from Turkey, you know, here you are, you know, speaking Spanish or this language or that language. I say, wow, I wish I knew how to speak these languages.
No doubt.
You know,
John,
the problem
is
I look better those days.
John, it's always a lot of fun having you as part of the show. We can't thank you enough for your time tonight. We hope we get the privilege of catching up with you again real soon. You're fantastic.
Well, I want to thank both of you. You guys do a great job. I love listening to your show. You guys are so professional, and you're really good at breaking my chops, too. But I still come on because I love you. Listen, one of the good things is I just tell it like it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yes,
that's what we love about you. You tell it like it is.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
But thank you guys so much. You guys do a great job. You know, again, a happy and healthy new year to you both. And thank you. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
John.
Same to you, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right. You guys have a great night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks. Take care, John.
Bye-bye.
That's the great John Luke. We've got our next guest, Gus Farad, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Gus right on the other side of this real quick station break.